Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast, our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC. Fat guys smashing stuff, super uninteresting dad life commentary, plus maybe even some MLS soccer. I don't know. We're your hosts for mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor. He's been in the locker room on the pitch and doing the stats in the stat booth, but what's now called Lumen Field. He's a sexy skank and Brandon.
Dude, I haven't even done any of that in a very long time.
Like, but I feel like you've done enough of it for most of our lifetime.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Honestly, I've been doing this podcast with you for longer than I was doing any of that stuff for the Sounders.
Or for working for the station, for that matter.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there you go.
Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. We'll be sure to check it every few months to see if you actually do. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
But primarily, if you could leave us a comment, that helps generate a little bit more interest. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Yeah, from an orca to a humpback whale.
Oh, are we going to talk about whale wieners again? Because if you want that, you can listen to the Nerd Talk Plus podcast on the Gregor's Nerd Talk channel.
I feel like the wizard bird...
A lot of whale...
I feel like the wizard bird has, like, combined these realms in my mind. And so, like, I never know what whale penis I've talked about. At this point,
when all else fails, just blame the wizard bird.
Yeah. Speaking of, shout outs to Aaron Merritt, the math man. Aaron Merritt,
Hold on. This week, it's the Angry New Who's Sounders FC taking on the No More Ozzy Alonso's Minnesota United FCSC. What about it? What about Aaron Merritt?
Aaron Merritt, the math man. He went to a bar. I'm not going to go find the tweet at this point. But he went to a bar and tweeted us a photo of the menu where there's a drink called the Magic Bird.
I feel like it's just a bird like this, like a middle finger bird with like a sparkly nail on it. So.
You got to play the Crystal Pepsi ball noise as I flip you off. That's the...
excuse me, Brandon. It's obviously going to be the Wizard Bird noise.
Oh, okay. There you go. It's the Magic Bird.
There we go. See. Speaking of which, I haven't heard any Wizard Birds this this year. I think I need to go do a little bit of outdoor wandering so I can hear some... What's cooking with them? We haven't gotten to them on the show. Yeah. I guess it really hasn't been bird season, to be fair.
I mean, it's like just now spring, right?
Do us a favor, hop on to full90podcast.com and check us out there. You can find all our links and all the other stuff. It is interesting that you mentioned the No More Ozzy Alonso's Minnesota United FCSC because, what's his name? Gonzalo Pineda leaves Seattle Sounders FC to go work for the Atlantas. And what does he do? He brings on his old pal, Ozzy Alonso. And even though I have mixed feelings on Atlanta United, it was pretty cool to see the two of them matching back up. Yes, of course, because of Deb.
It is cool. It's like, I think this thing happens in MLS that we pay obviously so much attention to the Sounders. We pay the normal amount of attention to the Sounders, probably. Well, we do a show about them. Anyway, we talk about the Sounders quite a bit. We try to follow what's going on. Most of the time have no idea what's happening in the rest of the league until the Sounders play a team and then they're like, oh, and you know, whoever, like Omar Gonzalez now plays for Houston Dynamo and I'm like, what? Like,
since when?
I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but it could be. That's my point is that, Ozzy Alonso, when he signed with Atlanta United, I was like, okay, no, like there's a transaction that I'm aware of because Pineda, Alonso, when they used to play midfield with each other, now one's coaching the other. I love to see Ozzy Alonso do well because he's still killing it. I watched a few highlights of his from a recent game. He had like a weird heart condition, but he played and I was like, dang, Ozzy still got it. Like that guy can still play. And I'm like, why did we ever get rid? And then I'm like, okay, you know what? Christian Roldan does what Ozzy did, but he's you know, like 40 years younger. And João Paulo is able to step into another role as well. So, like, the Sounders are filled.
João Paulo looks 30 years older
than Ozzie Alonso.
Yeah, yeah.
but it's just cool to see that Ozzie's still kicking and doing still doing pretty well. And but again, like, you could be like, and now Vladimir Putin is New York City FC's starting goalkeeper. I'd be like, yeah, probably. Like, I don't know. You could tell me that, and I'd believe you.
Vladimir Putin in goal. That guy doesn't have long enough arms. If it's an arms, if it's that arms race, he's losing. Okay, I'm sorry.
That was very good. That was a good joke.
Anyway, yeah, it's weird. I used to try to watch the MLS review show every week, and that show was awesome in the style of the old EPL review,
right,
where you could watch all the week's matchups, but then there started to be three games in a week and nine tournaments going on concurrently, and I just couldn't keep up with any of it. But that show was really good to be able to know what was happening with other teams and their big stars. At least you start to learn more about the rest of the league, but my God, it's exhausting.
You're like, oh, wow, not this year, but it's like Raul Ruiz Diaz has scored 17 goals. You're like, he must be the leading goal scorer then, because I've watched absolutely 0% of the rest of the matches. No, but I like that. Is it like a 22 thing, like a 2022 thing, that there's so much soccer right now? Like, obviously it's a World Cup year. There's World Cup qualifiers, the Euro. I mean, I think that COVID obviously threw everything off with
the other thing
delayed
is that
tournaments and all that.
We got to make up for all the 6,500 laborers that were killed in the process of building the stadiums for the World Cup that's happening not during the summer, but instead in the winter, so that way people don't drop dead on the field.
I'm doing my part, man. I had a kid last year. I'm trying to repopulate this earth.
No, you need to kill a migrant worker if you want to keep up with FIFA.
To get that balance. I got to get that balance.
You've got no future hosting any kind of international soccer tournament, Brandon. What are you doing?
No, I mean, that's what I aspire to. It's
I'm learning.
Yeah. This year is just so strange. I think, like, they talk about it in the Premier League. There's so much fixture congestion already, and then they had all of these teams, because of COVID, like, had to cancel matches because they had outbreaks on their team. But in it just seems like, I mean, like, we're talking about the Open Cup. The first round of the Open Cup kicked off a couple of weeks ago, or last week even. And as I was watching it, I was like, oh my gosh, more soccer? Like, the Sounders are playing in the Champions League. The Cup of CONCACAF Cup. They're going to be playing in the Open Cup. They played last year in that Nation League or whatever that one was called, where it's four
that
teams.
One was dumb.
Yeah. Like, it's dumb unless they had won the trophy. Then it would have been awesome.
No, still dumb.
Okay, fair enough.
Hey, I've got a question for you. Yeah. Maybe we could do a question of the week on this show. Of the week.
Of the week. maybe we
could do that, huh? From the other show, again, Gregor's Nerd Talk Plus on the search for Nerd Talk Plus on the podcast provider of your choice. No, but the if you could bring any classic Sounders player back about 5 days before their prime is over.
Okay.
Like, we felt like, now Ozzie Alonso has proven that his prime was not over when we expelled him. But, like, if you could bring back long hair Freddie Montero, or you could bring back any of these players, who do you think you would choose to come back to the squad? And they would not have aged. They would, like, still stay good.
Yeah.
Like, who do you make? You know, like, when you're a kid and you're playing touch football in the grass or whatever, and you'd have, like, all-time quarterback or something like that, someone that isn't going to get, like, it gets to, that you could throw the ball the furthest and gets to not have the wear and tear.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Who was the guy that double donkey kicks the guy in the nuts from S2? Sergio Mota. That guy.
Send me that gif. I will definitely insert it right there if we do any video with this, okay?
Yeah. No, I think, Clint Dempsey in his prime, like, the Sounders didn't have him in his prime. Like, his prime was scoring that ridiculous goal for Fulham against Juventus ages ago, right? That was in the Europa League, I believe. So, like, prime Clint Dempsey, probably the best player that's ever played for the Sounders. I was thinking about this the other day. Sorry, you're right. Zach Scott. Sorry. Zach Zott. I'll get you, Superman. Honestly, I was thinking about this the other day. We watched the Sounders. You and I went to a match together, and we watched the Sounders play.
The hand-holding didn't seem necessary, but
no,
made it special.
I think it was fine until you interlocked fingers, and then it was more than fine.
Well, I sweat. I can't help it, okay? Yeah.
But the thing that I miss the most about the Sounders, and while we have it a little bit in Jordan Morris, is the pace. Obafemi Martins, dude, having somebody that can actually run, and like, instead of seeing My Chemical Romance cover band Raul Ruiz Diaz sitting in the stands, not running at all, let alone running slowly, I miss the pace of Obafemi Martins, or even Eddie Johnson. Dude, I watched the U.S. men's national team game.
Pass.
No.
Something he was not good at, by the way.
Passing. I watched the U.S. national team game the other day where they smoked, who were they playing? Panama, 5-0, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. They showed the most... five-one. Thank you. They showed the top goal scorers for the U.S. in history. It's like Eddie Johnson is on that list. I was like, I forgot that Eddie Johnson was as prolific as he was for the U.S. national team before he even played for the Sounders. So another player that I think, like, I always forget that he was a Sounder and that he was as good of a player as he was. I think there was a little bit of wasted potential because he played great. I think he never quite lived up to his prime when he was in a Seattle shirt. What do you think? Like, who's your prime player that you'd bring? Eric Freeberg, maybe?
Tyrone Mears, for sure. I mean, it's like...
Dude!
I'd love DeAndre Yedlin back.
Oh, absolutely. I think we lost him, like, right before his prime.
I'm not saying prime with the Sounders. I just mean in general. Like, I get
no,
with
I know,
the
but that's
sure.
What, no, but that's what I'm saying is, like, I would have loved to see DeAndre. Because, like, I watched him play for Inter Miami, or I just watched some highlights from him playing for Inter Miami, and I was like, I forgot he's in the league at all, and playing with Miami. It's crazy, but he doesn't look like the DeAndre Yedlin of old.
So I made the mistake of watching, like, I don't know, some like DVR. MLS match at Sounders, and then switching over and watching the MLS, excuse me, the that was a bad slip, watching the U.S. men's national team, and it's crazy the step up, a guy that we count on every day, like Christian Roldan, to be consistent and be hard charging and have an awesome work rate. In this international break, he's gotten 0 minutes, and it's like, wow, he's not even good enough to make Berhalter's bench. Like, he's on the bench, but he's not able to get off of it. Yeah. And so, and then you see DeAndre Yedlin. My God, that guy's on the sideline. He takes a throw in, and he like can throw it faster than half of the Sounders can kick it.
Yeah,
and it's like laser beams. The guy is obviously excellent and has just reached a level that is something that we wish we could see working with other talent like that. If you had like a Deuce and Yedlin combo right now, like the first year Deuce.
First of all, the swag.
Yedlin changed numbers. Whoo boy.
Oh man, what's the Sounders all-time swag 11? Because it's like Clint Dempsey, DeAndre Yedlin, Tyrone Mears, Eddie Johnson's up there, Obafemi Martins in there, Raul Ruiz Diaz. I mean, it's mostly strikers. What's the all-time Sounders neck tattoo 11? It's DeAndre Yedlin, Raul Ruiz Diaz.
You start Yedlin over Raul Ruiz Diaz. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that guy's got so many neck tattoos.
So dope.
Man, the Sounders swag 11 would be the coolest and worst team. It'd be like a walking Ed Hardy t-shirt.
Can you please put this together? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you. It's important to keep our wives mad at us by doing useless things like this. So.
Right. She's like, you could be working. It's like, oh, sorry, I got the swag 11. I gotta get on. and then I want to put on like the Sounders dad 11, like the Sounders 11 players who are like the least swaggy, like who has
player coach Chad Marshall.
Yeah, it's like Chad Marshall, Jordan Morris, João Paulo in his jean shorts,
Zach Scott, obviously.
Zach, but that guy's from Hawaii. That guy surfs. That guy's got stees.
Hey, remember Leo Gonzalez? He'd be badass to bring back.
Yeah, he'd be on the dad 11 though, I'm pretty sure.
Flacco. Definite dad 11.
Oh, for sure. Sergio Mota is the double donkey kick boy. Swag 11, 1,000%.
It can't be a dad 11. He's out there destroying people's nads. Like. Yeah,
he's the anti-dad 11. Vic Mansouray, the kid.
Is that,
that
how
I,
they do...
The kid that was at a bar once.
Vasectomies in other parts of the country, or
yeah,
the world,
in Brazil.
Or...
Yeah,
just Mota's just he's Mota boating your nuts.
Vic Mansouray was a player that came through the Sounders Academy. I was definitely at a bar once, and I saw Obafemi Martins and a 17-year-old Vic Mansouray in there.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. It might have been him.
So wait, talking about, let's talk about the, about Sounders that are off playing in other places to,
sure,
to frame this. We're on an international break right now. The Sounders return to play this weekend on Saturday. They'll be in Minnesota, but with a week off, which is much needed after that run of games that did not go great. We have four players that are off on international duty. We've had more in the past, I think, but that's also, I think this is one of the squads that has the most talent pulled off of it right now, including Arriaga, Nuhu, Christian Roldan, and Jordan Morris all away. And the U.S. men's national team is the most interesting story to me because it affects us, you know, more closely. But you started with Roldan there, not seeing any minutes.
Well, it's interesting because, like, Jordan Morris has seen minutes in both U.S. men's national team matches so far. They still have a third one to play against Costa Rica.
Tonight, our recording.
If they draw or win or don't lose by five or more or something like that, they're going to qualify for the World Cup. Jordan Morris has seen minutes in both of the matches so far, and he is, based on club form, he is seeing more minutes than I would have anticipated Christian Roldan to see based on how he's been playing. The dude's got, in all of the matches across CONCACAF, Cup of CONCACAF Cup, MLS, he's got six assists and I think one goal for the season already. And in one of those matches, the match I think against LA Galaxy, he got the two assists and he earned the penalty that led to the penalty goal. So he's playing out of his mind right now. And not to say that like the U.S. national team has a shortage of talented midfielders, but there's been a couple of times, especially against Mexico in the match that they played, where it's like you need a Christian Roldan. You need somebody that can just take the game, kind of like Ozzy Alonso, by the scruff of its neck and just boss the rest of the match. That's what Christian Roldan can bring because he chases every single ball down. There was so much stuff in that match. Now, this raises the question for me is I want to talk about how amazing it's going to be to see potentially four, if not more, Sounders playing in the World Cup this year. One of those being Cameroon. Now that Cameroon has punched their ticket, Nuhu will be playing.
That's so unbelievable that Nuhu is a World Cup player out of a guy that, you know, made league minimum just a few years ago, won Nuhu.
Like, to the point that we're making jokes, like his name is the smallest amount of currency in MLS.
Yeah, like, and here he is now representing his team from AFCON. That's so cool.
Well, and in the meantime, defending world soccer's global superstars like Mo Salah and Riyad Mahrez. Like, in the same amount of time, like, not just earning his way through, you know, a weaker, you know, league or something like that in order to go through. He's playing against some of the world's best, you know? So, but in your opinion, do you think Christian Roldan, based on what we've seen from Greg Berhalter so far, makes this World Cup roster? Because I think it would be incredibly disappointing if he didn't.
So I don't know enough about the squad, but there was I only watched the Mexico match. I didn't see the Panama one. And there was a lot of opportunities where I was like, yeah. If someone, it just depends. If the U.S. plays this kind of counterattack soccer, then like, no, you don't need a Christian Roldan. You need, like, if you're just going to wait till you have an opportunity to try and expose the other team's defense, then like, you need some really quick, dynamic playmakers. If you need somebody to keep the other team from exposing you, I feel like you want a Christian Roldan out there. So whatever the strategy is going to be, that's kind of the answer to it. I think that if he's the type of guy that you put him out there and he performs to whatever level you ask him to, or falls over dead. Like, I think the heart is totally there to be able to represent. Yeah. He might not be on par the skills with some of the other players that are options there, but really there's not like a huge name that's not injured that stands out right now that's going to play in the kind of defensive midfield there, or even kind of the advancing midfield. So I'm happy to see Jordan out there, who can play along the left side so well. When he first came out against Mexico, he looked like there was like a young man's nerves there, which I appreciate seeing, because it's a new level that he's got to be at. Where it comes out for Seattle, he's playing it in his comfort zone. This seems like it pushes him outside of it. And you get him a good run, that'll be bad or badass. But with Roldan, he's just an unknown. I just don't know.
It's interesting. I think, like, you know, they take the, I think you get to take 25 players to the World Cup, and then, you know, if a player should get injured, I think you can bring in a certain amount of reserves, right? So you have your official roster and then you have a certain amount of reserves. if Christian Roldan doesn't see time against Costa Rica in that third match of this, I would be surprised if he goes as part of the 25-man roster.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially when you have players that didn't even get called up into this most recent camp, like Weston McKennie, who's out with an injury. One of, I think, the U.S. team's best players in the pool by far. So I'd be really disappointed if you didn't see Roldan go as like one of those reserve players that's ready to get called up should something happen to one of the other players on the roster. But the dude has worked his butt off so hard, has been playing so well at that level for like, there's not a time where Roldan has a stretch of more than two bad games in a row.
Yeah.
I want to see it for him. You know what I mean? Especially like Alex Roldan not going to be going to the World Cup with Honduras. Bummer to see that. But I would love to see Christian Roldan be able to...
El Salvador.
Sorry, not yeah, Honduras. Yeah, El Salvador.
I keep thinking it's Ecuador because of just it was too many.
Now,
players.
If you need to take somebody who's going to finger wag and try to maybe donkey kick somebody. I think Javier Arriaga going with Ecuador. Ecuador's clinched their spot.
I just assumed that he already got like 50 red cards in these last two matches. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like Roldan has become kind of the domestic or the Continental Cup guy.
Yeah.
Like if you're not going to bring over one of your European guys, then Roldan's like a real good fixture there in the Gold Cup or,
right,
or whatever, you know, those equivalents are in these American America's tournaments.
Yeah.
But I'll be surprised if he makes which breaks my heart, but also is good for Seattle, I suppose, because he won't be split focused on two different things. Not that he really has much of a challenge doing that anyway. Massive props to Nuhu. It's a tale of two Nuhus, as far as I'm concerned. He left Seattle's last match injured. He had to do the finger wave thing to get not the sub one, yeah, like the
Not the magic bird either.
But he had to do that and come out of the match early, and then just days later he's playing for Cameroon, and I was like, oh, is he looking out for his own international interests over Seattle's? And hey, I mean, as a guy who's been underpaid and underserved for a while, and not that he doesn't get the respect, but I could see him prioritizing what he wants over what other people want.
The kind of attention that Nuhu's getting right now after the African Cup of Nations, where Cameroon finished third and he had a breakout performance defending Mo Salah. I feel like every time I say Mohamed Salah's name, I say it a little bit differently, and I don't know what the right way is to say it. So I'm just hoping that whenever the people are listening, that they're hearing the whatever they want to hear. And
Stephanie Salah, his sister, is like, God, you get it right.
Thanks for listening, by the way.
What's up, dummy?
Now,
wait, wrong show again. Sorry,
Wizard Bird. No. No, I think that for him to have his profile raising so much, you know, who knows, A, if he'll be with the Sounders by the time that this World Cup comes around, because after that summer transfer window, the kind of performance that he's been putting on, maybe somebody comes in with a fee. We've been talking like that for the last couple
of
years,
seasons,
right? Yeah. But I think that this year, more than any, has been a huge breakout season for him.
Can you imagine the first year we were talking about Nuhu and his... like his lack of control for his own legs.
Yeah.
That we'd be talking about him potentially picking up a fee to move to a European club. Like that would have been ridiculous,
it's
right?
It's insane. Yeah. And the fact that on a smaller scale that we talked about, never quite with the same extremities, but Alex Roldan a few years ago got cut by the team and is now captaining the El Salvador national team to a non-World Cup appearance. But still, like, he's captaining that team.
It speaks volumes of the structure that the Sounders have put in place in this club to be able to nurture talent that maybe could be there and turn it into something. It's a real Seattle thing. The Seahawks are real known for doing that as well. All right, we're looking at a Saturday matchup on the road in Minnesota. Oh, it could be like, Minnesota's the weirdest. It could be like 4 degrees there in a blizzard, or it could be like kind of beautiful in springtime with crocuses everywhere. Who knows? It's a matchup at 5 p.m. our time in Seattle, or for Brandon in Eastern Washington time, which I assume is the same, but might be measured with sand or something, or I'm not really sure. Yeah, thank you. Allianz Field, of course, is the home of Minnesota United, a 5 p.m. matchup, as I stated. Okay, so Minnesota coming into this is doing okay, I suppose. They're third in the West, 4 matches on 8 points. It's still really early to draw anything from this, I think. But Seattle, after 4 matches on half that at 4 points, 11th in the West. So not a lot to read into here. A lot of guys not going to be available for Seattle, so that's not ideal. If ever there was a time with Seattle's history of how we see the team perform, bad at first, hot at the end, like, okay, fine, that'll be fine. But I was just kind of comparing the Seattle numbers to the rest of the Cascadia teams, and Portland, 5 matches with 6 points, puts them in 9th place, so they're below the, in the future, what we'll care about is the playoff line. And then Vancouver, I'm not even sure they know where the stadium even is, much less who has the keys to Turf Boney. Like, have they won? Have they even put up a point? Have they scored a goal 4 matches into the season? You want to talk about a team that deserves, in a cold place, the term hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
It's Vancouver Whitecaps. I mean, they are. White craps, for sure.
They have 0 points. No points from...
I need to double-check that, okay. But it's like MLS table.
Yeah.
Like, they're bottom of the West, so it's like...
My goodness.
It's pretty disappointing for them.
I was listening to another MLS-based podcast recently, and they were talking...
1 point.
They have a one draw.
Yeah, they're 3 losses and a draw.
Wow. So I was listening to this other podcast, and they were talking about, wow, you know, X, Y, or Z team sitting below the playoff line 4 matches in. I'm like, okay. Okay.
Chill.
The Sounders were, what was it, 2016, awful for a majority of that season, snuck into 6th place and then won the MLS Cup.
Exactly. And Ziggy was dismissed, and like, it was a whole thing. And then it seems to kind of be the thing, bad up front. Get things sorted out, maybe make that one dynamic move during the year, and then get the things sorted together and play hard at the end. Yeah. It's exactly what Portland did at the end of last season. They were bad, and then they got it together and went all the way to MLS Cup.
It's the reverse MLS mullet, right? It's instead of doing business in the front and party in the back, it's way too sloppy in the front, and then it's all business in the back until you get yourself all the way up to the trophy.
Us 90s kids will refer to that as a Tony Hawk. Used to have the flap of hair on the front covering one eye, and then you'd like kick it back.
Us millennial kids will call it the Owl City.
Okay.
Dude, all right. So you brought up Turf Boney, which I think is important because it's a technology, in my opinion, that's changed the landscape of soccer.
For anyone not up to speed, we have you visit Vancouver, you go to BC Place to watch a match, and in between halves, before the first half, they bring out what is a Zamboni machine designed to touch up the turf.
Right.
Thus, when we saw it, it's what we focused on most at that match, and we definitely called it Turf Boney.
Yeah, Turf Boney. If you go to like a Sounders game, I mean, it's turf. It's artificial turf in Seattle. It's artificial turf in Vancouver. It's artificial turf in Portland. If you go to any of those matches, they still end up watering that turf at half, and it just softens the field for the rest of the match, okay?
Yeah.
Especially on those super hot days.
Hot.
It can dry out real quick. Now, what happens is Turf Boney goes out there so they don't have to bring out these hoses and do the whole thing. Anyway, it's changed quite literally the landscape of soccer in, I was almost going to say the United States, but Vancouver's super in Canada. now, I want to talk about...
Indisputably in Canada.
No doubt Vancouver's in Canada. Now, I do want to talk about a technology that you and I talked about at the LA Galaxy match that we got to go to together. We were talking about the placement of where they put the VAR screen. Because what we noticed is where we were sitting, the VAR screen was actually on in front of the supporter section, where it used to be over by the referee's locker room on the other end of the pitch.
Well, it started in front of the supporter section, and then it left for a while, and now it's back. Get back!
Well, and then so we talked about how in CONCACAF or in a lot of international leagues, what they'll do is they'll put it like in between the benches of the two teams, which is like the worst possible place to try to make an impartial decision when you have the partiality on both sides yelling at you. You got Tata Martino putting his arm around you at the Gold Cup final. Like, it's just an insane spot to put it. Now, it led us to this invention, which I'm absolutely shocked doesn't exist. What we are calling for now is VAR goggles.
Perfect.
It's virtual reality goggles and headset that the referee gets to put on when there's a controversial decision to that he needs to revisit. The fourth official runs it out to him. He gets to put it on, and he gets to watch the play from that perspective right up front. And
he can walk around looking like a blind person if he wants, with the goggles on and just like lost in space. And like,
maybe
and
they should
actually get to the place where the kick was done or the foul.
They should
committed.
Be augmented reality. They should be video.
No, I want
augmented
it to be virtual.
I
want them to look ridiculous. I want them to look so dumb, and so I want it to be. Yeah I want it to be
just like
virtual reality.
Walking into Javier Arriaga, just like
perfect. Yeah,
yeah. But the other thing we talked about, it's gotta be, because you know, because it's MLS, it can't be perfect. It's going to have to be based on the Facebook metaverse, which means that none of the players in the replays are going to have legs or arms, so it's going to be very difficult to call penalties. But they will all have very fun, like maybe they can make some NFTs, and like the metaverse version of Javier Arriaga can have like an NFT finger wag, or like I mean, I don't know what an NFT is, so I don't know if that joke makes sense. But
no one does. That's just it. Is that you're just like, they don't actually do anything. You're just buying crypto without getting any financial return on it. Right. It's amazing. Yeah. NFTs are the greatest scam yet. Anyway,
when we go to we don't go, but when you like watch a rugby match or a cricket match, even right?
Yeah.
What I love about those is that the referee is actually mic'd up to the stadium. It's like same way in NFL, right? Where in NFL the referee will go to the center and like you turn on his microphone and say whatever the penalty or the call was, in order to let the stadium and the television audience know. What's cool in rugby that doesn't have as much stop start as NFL has is that it's on all the time. So whenever that referee or that center official is talking to a player and saying, hey, this is what you did wrong, don't do it again, or you're going to get a card or whatever it is, the whole stadium, the television broadcast gets to hear it. Same in cricket, I'm pretty sure. I don't understand cricket, so I don't watch it very much. But what I think is, I just want to throw that out there.
Just let me make sure that everyone knows where I'm at with this.
This week's question of the week is, how does cricket work?
You do not have enough time to answer that question.
I don't have enough time to watch a single, what do they call a match? It's not a match, it's a test of cricket. Yeah. Anyway, how cool would it be is instead of that, like, you got to see what the referee was seeing. You got to, like, they did it in the MLS All-Star game. They put a GoPro on the referee.
And then it
broadcast to the
over,
stream.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
It'd be like, of course it'd be like in rugby, like the one day that you forget that you ate like a chili dog with extra white onions on it, and you'd be like, okay, that's a foul.
Yeah, because people that are notorious for treating their bodies terribly are referees who have to run around in soccer a lot. Look at Mike Dean, who is retiring from professional refereeing in the Premier League, is like over 50 years old. Like, these guys are not eating chili dogs.
He looks like Snope.
I know. Do you mean Snape?
No, the guy from
Snoke.
I get it all confused. Yeah,
he looks like the guy that's telling, like, trying to tell you which myths to believe on the internet.
Snopes, yeah, .com. Yeah, you got it. You understand. Okay, good.
Yeah, Professor Snopes.
Okay, well, the match is, the match will be missing some talent for the Sounders squad on Saturday night, 5 o'clock in Minnesota, Allianz Stadium. Whew. I guess it's time to take a look into your Crystal Pepsi ball, Brandon, and tell me, what do you see for a result for this week's big matchup?
Oh, one second.
All right, well, we've lost Brandon. He just decided to get up and leave for no reason, without any explanation. All he offers is
this
keep
week,
recording.
This week, I'm not looking into my Crystal Pepsi ball.
Oh, no.
I'm looking into my VAR goggles.
Your Crystal Pepsi VAR goggles?
Yeah, that's right. These are my Crystal Pepsi VAR goggles. And I see the Sounders scoring 3 goals and Minnesota United scoring 0. And I saw it from the perspective of...
Mike Dean.
Mike Dean. Professor Snopes.
Professor Snopes. Okay, well, that's exciting. I'm going to say that we see a red-hot Freddie Montero back and a 1-1 draw. So there you go.
Red-hot.
The single goal to tie it up in like the seventh minute. So,
yeah, perfect.
All right.
And then just nothing for the rest of the match.
Well, in case you just, this podcast was too long and you didn't listen, it's time for Too Long Didn't Listen. Brandon, Too Long Didn't Listen.
Too Long Didn't Listen is, I've learned what the magic bird is.
And I'm doing it right now.
I can't see. I don't know what you just did. I can't see. I know you flipped me off. Too Long Didn't Listen. Oh. All right, Gregor.
I can't. You've killed me. I am now dead.
You know what we didn't talk about is how angry New Who is.
Well, we don't have time, unfortunately, because we ran right up to the limit. I have to go. But
Too Long Didn't
too
Talk
long,
About.
Didn't Too Long Didn't Talk About It. How angry is New Who?
So angry.
No, I've got one, though. You can ask me.
All right, Gregor. Too Long Didn't Listen.
Has anyone seen the Keys to Turf Boney?
No.